Welcome back to the Cave of Solitude podcast, episode 5, podcasting to you from the mega city metropolis of Toronto. I'm Eric Anthony.
And I'm Jay Siegel.
Do you know why they call it the metropolis in Superman? It's a fun fact to throw you off right at the beginning of the show. Do you know where they got that from? What the inspiration of for Metropolis was? And why I include it in the show intro?
Toronto?
it is true. The guy, they based the Metropolis, Superman's like base of operations off of Toronto. Did you know that?
No.
And
why?
Because one of the creators, I'm not sure if it was Schuster or Siegel, was living in Toronto. Right?
Yeah.
And so he went back and based the better city than Cincinnati or Cleveland, wherever they were from. And do you know the paper that he works for, Superman?
Toronto Star.
Here you go. He worked for the Daily Star originally, based off Toronto Star.
Not the Daily Planet?
No, originally it was the Daily Star. Well, so Toronto is the inspiration for Superman. How fitting.
Huh.
And the Toronto Sun, where Superman gets his power from. Could you imagine,
like, Superman perched on top of the CN Tower, overlooking a fine Blue Jays game?
Or coming through to a Raptors game, since they've been kicking
doing
butt.
So well. Yeah.
I know. It's wicked.
Wow.
Wow.
Finally a Toronto team. Well, let's see if it lasts.
So if you can't tell from our random intro, this episode does not have a specific subject matter. We're just going to do a Wild Card Wednesday episode. And speaking of Wild Card, comes to mind, our good friend, our Wild Card, on Instagram, was our helper in setting up our website. You haven't met him yet, I don't think, but you will soon.
Okay.
But we want to send him a shout out for helping us on the website. It's still under construction, but we're going to get it working, going to get it going. It's going to be so wicked by the time we're done with it.
Thank you.
You saying thank you to me or to our Wild Card?
To both.
Okay. Also, since our podcast is growing, I don't know if you've been keeping track on Podomatic. Maybe not, but I'm keeping
six
updated.
Followers.
Got 6 followers, but we had one of our episodes in one day had 45 downloads. I was happy. I know that's not a lot, but in one day, that was...
I don't even know 45 people.
yes, you do. You might not have 45 friends.
I don't have 45 friends.
On Instagram, you have a ton of friends. I don't know how you have so many followers so quick.
I don't know how I do, too.
I was shocked. I'm like, this guy put one picture up. It took me 2 years to get this many followers as this guy.
Secretly, I'm paying them. I'm like, here's $5, add me.
I'm costing you a fortune then, because
yeah,
you got a lot of
followers.
That's why
I'm saying I'm going broke.
Also, getting back to our ever-growing podcast, at the comic shop that I go to, Cyber City Comics in Toronto, located around Steeles and Bathurst. I don't know the exact address. Do you know the street it's on?
Yeah, it's on Carpenter and
Steeles. So Cyber City Comics, anybody who wants to go to a good comic shop with, he's a great owner, Daryl's his name.
Yeah, they have an awesome trade paperback selection too.
Yeah,
he keeps
it well stocked, everything's up to date, anything you need help with, he's quick to ask. You know what I like about that place? It might sound like a cheesy line, but he remembers his customers' names.
Yeah.
And he remembers what it is they like. And he keeps conversation with them. It becomes kind of like, if you're one of those Wednesday warrior people who like to go to the shop every Wednesday, it becomes like a home to you. So if you're in the Toronto area, you want a good comic shop that gives you good deals on books, good sales with the membership, Cyber City Comics is a spot. I highly recommend it. And he's going to shout us out too. Maybe we'll print out some sort of advertisement flyers.
Let's get business cards.
We should do it.
Yeah. Here's a business card.
Eventually, we're going to make money off this podcast. But for now, we're not. So don't sue us for using all of these licensed songs. So news item for this week. Let's get into the news. I don't know if you heard, but they came up with a title for the newest Star Wars movie.
Are you kidding me? I probably knew that before you. Come on, this is Star Wars. You're stepping into my domain.
Good. I want to step into your domain. Last episode was your domain with the Weezer. Tell me what you think of The Force Awakens, episode 7.
I am, like, super curious. This raised more questions than I did. It also made me really upset.
Why?
Because if Harrison Ford hadn't broken his stupid leg, I know he's old and I love him to death. He's Indy, he's Han and stuff. But if he hadn't broken his leg, we would have probably had a trailer by now. Oh, could you imagine? We would have had a Star Wars trailer. Yeah. Yeah, we would have had a Star Wars trailer, not just a little teaser title. Oh.
When does it come
jelly
out?
Jelly toast.
What's the date?
I got pushed back to 2016.
What?
Yeah.
Man, 2016 is
Yeah, because
be
it was
busy
sometime in
year.
2015 that it was supposed to come out, and then because he broke his leg, apparently it was something like he was walking through a door and fell and broke his leg. Something stupid, I know.
So
and then
it's not like the stormtrooper that bumps his head?
Got the lead. That was the best. Was it me who showed you that?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, that's the greatest thing in the world.
So
that, everything got
stupid.
Delayed. Yeah.
Oh,
everything
like
got
an
delayed.
Action
Filming
shot.
Got delayed. Everything.
Well, okay. So what do you think of the title?
Okay. I have two lines of thought. Either one, I wonder if it is like kind of a call out to the fans because so many people were so disappointed with the last three because the first three, like 4, 5, 6, they're like considered the Star Wars. That is where the phenomenon began with A New Hope all the way to... Return of the Jedi. That's like where it started. So I'm wondering if that might have been a callback to like, hey, we're gonna do a Star Wars, but we're gonna do this like really well. So like the Force is reawakening within the fans, and plus because it's been so long, that's probably a stretch. More likely, I'm wondering if it's like the Force Awakens. I'm wondering because they've said it's not following any of the books. So I think it might be going towards, like, maybe Luke has been out of action. The Empire is down.
But there was no Jedi either. It was only him left,
right? It was
right?
only him.
So maybe
yeah, so I'm wondering if it's, like, the Empire is gone. Now there's no real threats. Luke has kind of slowed down. He's getting older because Mark Hamill looks pretty old and stuff. He's getting older, and then new threat is going to come from somewhere, and that's when the Force has to kind of... revamp itself to add some new people to the Jedi legacy. Mark
okay.
Hamill or Luke will have to train some people and we'll get to see some awesome stuff.
Do you like that? Because from what I've heard and read a little bit about is that they're still sticking to Luke, Leia, and Han telling that story. They're not just like figureheads in this movie. They're not just making an appearance to be like, hey, here we are, we're still alive. They're making the movie around those characters. What do you
think
of that?
Around their lives, but it's also going to, I think, probably include different aspects of it, too. Because in all the Star Wars books, Han and Leia have kids and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen the cast, but there's one girl. Oh, I can't remember her name. It's Daisy something. But if you look at a picture of her, she looks kind of like Natalie Portman. So if you think about it, that's awesome. If
okay.
that's like Leia's daughter,
okay. yeah.
then... Because she doesn't look enough like Natalie Portman that you're like, they just hired someone that looks like Natalie Portman. But at the same time, it's like, oh yeah, like the familial
yeah.
Similarities are there.
Do you like the fact that they're not going with the expanded universe books? Do you like that they're... This is...
I'm iffy on it, because the books, especially, like, the Legacy of the Force, that series, that's kind of, like, one of... Regarded as one of, like, the official Star Wars follow-ups
okay.
to the movies, and, like, those are really good stories. You know how, like, it drives you nuts when they don't follow comic book stories?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because they're really good stories. If
yeah,
they
yeah.
just adapted it, it'd be awesome.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same. It's
okay.
like, if you just adapted that, you have your entire trilogy...
Right,
it's laid
right,
out
right.
before
it's right
you,
there.
And you know fans love it.
Okay.
So, we'll see.
Yeah, because they made... I liked some of the books that I've read.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's a great bridge in between. Because I read the stuff that was in between... I read the Dark Lord book. I really liked that. To follow up what happens after Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah.
Did you like the first three movies? I know people are like, you know, iffy about them. I thought they were good.
Yeah.
I mean,
recognize bad acting.
Yeah.
And I recognize Jar Jar Binks is annoying.
Star Wars, you don't watch that for acting.
Yeah.
The first three Star Wars, did you think that was great acting? It was Han better. Was
pretty fantastic.
But that's Harrison Ford. That guy's the man. But none of those people...
he was a janitor?
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Think about that. He was like inches away from not being Han.
Okay, speaking of Harrison Ford, on a tangent, what do you... when you think of him, what's the role
Han that comes Solo. To your
mind? More over Indy.
Over Indy.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because he is who... he's Han. Indy was like a thing he did on the side to me.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I... see, for me... I was exposed to Indy first as a kid, so he was like automatic Indiana Jones. I thought it was wicked when I discovered the Star Wars universe that this guy's also like a huge major character in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah,
like these guys who play these roles, do you think they have to know what they're getting themselves into? Maybe not back then.
Yeah, but I don't think he would have known a Star Wars.
Maybe not Star Wars, but like you played Han Solo, which is probably in the science fiction world, the top five most popular characters ever.
Yeah.
In science fiction.
Yeah.
Could there... could
even, you, I would say, in the acting world...
yeah.
I would put it up there.
But in that fanboy community.
Absolutely.
Okay, you got... and then you got Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Which is a whole other fandom in itself of that almost similar genre. I mean, it's not science fiction, but...
even, like, he accepted the role as the Colonel Graf. From
Ender's Game.
So like,
that's what I'm saying.
At least you know he likes space.
He's picking these roles of these stories, these universes that are have this following, these cult followings. Like even Samuel L. Jackson, some of the roles he was in Star Wars 2. He's Nick Fury.
Snakes on a Plane. I just saw that for the first time. Wow, that was a thing that he did. But see, that has like its own kind of following. People regard it as like a movie, I guess.
It has the cult following.
Yeah.
People who enjoy that thing. They gotta know what they're getting themselves into.
Yeah.
Especially nowadays. Like, you know, you gotta know you're gonna be going to Comic-Con or whatever it might be. And these people are gonna be fanatics of what you've played, right?
Yeah.
So, you liked the first three Star Wars.
Yeah.
You weren't one of those haters.
Yeah, like, I recognize the kid that played Anakin. He was awful. Jar Jar Binks was annoying and stuff. But at the same time, like, they had good actors. Natalie Portman, Ian McGregor, Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
They're all good actors and stuff.
No, it was
and, like,
good.
So, I don't let that take me out of it. And, like, then if you're just taking it as, like, a space story, it's still this massive, epic story. People let the acting take away from the story and drive me crazy.
Yeah, I thought it was fun.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting that they said that the movies are the canon. The expanded universe is something you can still enjoy, but they're not going to make that canon. I think it's... it kind of sucks if you've invested emotionally some way into reading these books and feeling as though, like, here's what happens next. Because I didn't think that they were going to continue making more. Like, six Star Wars movies.
That was what all...
Clone
that
Wars.
That was what Lucas had planned.
Yeah, like, all that story I felt was told. And all that expanded universe built upon it. And I'm like, oh, that's great. Like, you got the movies and then the books. And you can pick and choose what you want from it. But now they're kind of canceling it all out. I think J.J. Abrams knows what he's doing. Especially because he's a fan.
Yeah.
And he cares about it.
I have faith in him. Because I know a lot of my friends that are Star Trek fans did not like that movie.
I heard that too.
Because it wasn't like that. But see, in my case, that was the first time I ever liked Star Trek.
Me
I was
too.
Like, it's sweet. But
it's more
I
like
had
Star
it
Wars.
It explains to me that, that is told more as a Star Wars. It's more of like the action, the chasing,
that's
the like,
better.
Let's blow this thing up instead
but,
of solve it.
But like, they're the most successful Star Trek movies.
Earl Grey Hot.
Yeah, I never was into Star Trek before.
Yeah.
I know people who were like, those aren't real Star Trek movies. I'm like, whatever, they're good.
They're close enough to Star Wars.
They're the only Star Trek movies that I own. So, and I'm not disrespecting anyone who likes Star Trek. If you like that, great. I was a Star Wars fan myself. I like the action, the adventure, the fantasy.
So I have faith in him because of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Also... in news is, I don't know if this would interest you, but since your band name is Hey Listen, which is a throwback to Ocarina of Time, they are going to release Majora's Mask on 3DS. Did you like that game? I never played it.
Really?
No, I didn't.
William didn't convince you?
he convinced me, but I said, if they put it out on a 3DS, which I own, I'm going to play it.
Yeah.
Because I missed the boat.
That's right, you own one.
Yeah, I missed the boat on the Zelda thing. As a kid, I was more into Super Mario. I couldn't buy any video game I wanted, so I had to pick. And they just seemed too complicated for me at the time.
Yeah.
When I got older and it was available to play, I was like, okay, I'm going to give these classic games a try. So I'm excited to play it because it's brand new for me.
Yeah. I was excited because they did such a good job with Ocarina of Time.
Yeah.
And I have faith that they're going to do good.
I was surprised at how much those Nintendo 64 games, when they've been re-released on the 3DS, how good they are.
Yeah.
Like, I even played Star
Nintendo
Fox.
Yeah, Nintendo does a really good job.
Their games that they, like, they do, the games that are their licenses are fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, Ocarina of Time, I tell people all the time, if you're going to buy your kids some sort of device to play on, I say, don't get an iPad. Get them Zelda, Ocarina of Time, because it's a problem solver.
Yeah.
It's adventure.
It's actually, like, hard in some spaces.
It is.
Yeah.
You got to actually think of what you're doing.
Yeah.
It's easy to, like, the controls of it are easy, but it requires you to put together the story, to problem solve. It's not just, and it's not a game of where you're just going around slashing people with a sword. That's not even the majority of the game.
Yeah.
The majority of it is knowing what to use at the right time, where to go, how to follow a map.
Yeah.
I think it's
and
way
how
better.
To listen.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that'll be exciting.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. They're saying it's coming in spring of 2015, not far away. Okay, so that's for news. Pick of the week. Do it. What's your pick of the week?
You go first. I'm still working my head in my head. I have it.
I have a lot.
Okay.
Myself.
Yeah, so you go.
Okay. The problem for me is trying to find one to pick. Okay, so one thing that's a big pick for me, I'm going to cheat this week. I'm going to do more than one. I bought the Batman 1966 television series.
Oh, God.
All 120 episodes on
DVD.
How
many have you watched?
I just got it yesterday. I haven't watched anything except the bonus features, and I'm excited.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever watched it. You're probably too young. You seen them?
I've seen some of them with my dad, yeah.
You know what? They are zany and campy and all that crap, but that's the first Batman that I remember.
Yeah.
And it's one of the reasons why I love comic books and I love Batman, so it still has a place in my heart. I can't wait to watch him. I'll probably laugh now when I see them, but I mean, you got the Joker, you got Riddler, everybody's there. The Batmobile in that, I know you said last time it's silly, that Batmobile's wicked.
Yeah.
You don't think so?
No, I do. For that universe, yeah. Because see, for me, the first Batman I remember is Batman Begins.
That's
so
your
imagine,
first Batman?
Yeah.
Wow.
So imagine going from that and then watching,
yeah,
like,
fair enough.
Remembering these 1966s and being
fair
like,
enough.
Oh, hmm.
See, before the Tim Burton Batman came out, they were showing like trailers or previews for that while I was watching that version of Batman the 66.
Oh.
So to me, that Adam West and Burt Ward, they were the closest, they were the literal depiction of what Batman and Robin would be in real life.
Yeah.
Even though they were not like the most muscular, but he had the blue and gray suit, the Batcave, Alfred, like it just seemed like this is real life Batman. As a kid, you took it so serious.
Yeah.
But that car is cool, even to this day.
Yeah.
The Tim Burton Batmobile, do you remember that? We saw it at the Comic-Con.
It changed between... Oh, you're talking about that one specifically?
Great design and so intimidating.
Yeah.
But it's so useless.
With the giant fin?
Well, you can't even hop a curb with that thing.
Imagine, like...
It's so low to the ground.
Yeah, and imagine, like, he has to go over, like, go under something. Just, like, the fin. Destroyed.
But you know what? It was cool to see him.
Gee, Willikers, Batman, that fin was a terrible idea.
Okay, so my other pick of the week, I'm gonna do a book. Let me think of one I've read recently. All New X-Men. I read the deluxe edition of All New X-Men from Brian Michael Bendis, so it's the first 10 issues of it. And I don't know if I told you about it, but it's a time travel story. I know Marvel's been doing a lot of time travel stories in a lot of their books, but this one just... It tickled me. I loved it. It was Beast opens up the book saying that he's dying. And it's also tying in back to Cyclops being that kind of revolutionary terrorist.
So it's in the same universe?
Same timeline. But he says, before I die, I've got to do something to talk sense into him, to stop him, to go any further before he makes, like, this crazy genocide. Or not genocide, but, you know, does this revolution against humanity.
Yeah.
So, in talking with his other X-Men, Iceman says something interesting. He says, you know, if young Cyclops could see himself today, he'd slap himself out. And that gives Beast an idea. He goes back in time and gets the original five X-Men, including himself, at the Xavier School and brings them to the future.
Hmm.
And they confront themselves. It sounds kind of hokey.
Isn't that... I don't know the entire plot of Days of Future Past, but isn't it, like, somewhat similar to that? The future has gone wrong, but I didn't think they were bringing someone into the future.
No, in that one, Kitty Pryde goes back in time to prevent something from happening in order to make sure the future is protected, that they can live. This one here, he's going back, bringing the young versions of themselves to the future, but, I don't want to spoil anything, but just the... Everybody's the impact it makes when people see Jean Grey alive, how Wolverine reacts, how they all react with each other, like, what's happened to us? Like, when you think of something like Jean Grey becoming the Dark Phoenix, all the history that she has, and seeing people's reactions to her in the future, it's a really interesting book. I really enjoyed it. I recommend it to anybody.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. You got yours ready?
I do. Okay. Since we were just a couple minutes ago talking about concept albums,
okay,
I'm going to just steal from that. So I know you've heard me talk about them, but the Thermals, they're probably my second favorite band.
I have to check them out still. I can't find their album anywhere.
Yeah. They're out of Portland, Oregon. They have a lot of albums out. They're kind of a punky indie-ish band. But anyways, I chose their third album, The Body, The Blood, The Machine, just because it is one of those albums where you can start and listen to finish, and it sounds consistent. Some of the songs even, like, play right into the next song, and it is supposed to be a concept album, a story about a Jewish family in Nazi Germany trying to, like, escape.
Okay.
And just, like, the different points of perspective from the family and then from the Nazis and stuff. Doesn't outright say it a lot, but there are some, like, religious references. One of the songs is called, like, A Pillar of Salt.
Okay.
It's kind of cool. The very opening song is called Here's Your Future, and it's, like, basically the Bible account of Noah. So, like, cool. It's kind of cool. It's really cool how, like, they play.
Is this their new album?
No. This is one of their older ones from 2006.
Okay.
So they play through, and, like, it's just a really fun CD. Makes you kind of want to get up and dance.
Okay.
And stuff. It's fast. It's got really good guitar riffs. Really catchy guitar riffs that kind of get stuck in your head.
Wow. I wish I could just... I go to every music store. I can never find their albums. I'm going to maybe have to buy it online or something.
Yeah, I think you probably have to. I saw it one time in, like, a HMV, and it was like $25.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
It's very expensive. Worth it, though.
Sure, you know what? I'm not against buying something that's worth it. If there's something that I know I really am looking for, I'd spend the extra dough. But I can't even, like, see their slot.
Yeah.
In the music store.
Yeah, yeah. They're pretty smallish, I think.
Yeah, but still, like,
you gotta find something. They played in Toronto before.
Yeah, I gotta look into it because I've heard some stuff off of. Like, I've sampled some of it off the internet, and I liked it.
Yeah.
I'm like, I would actually like this band.
Yeah. They're fast. They're pretty... Yeah. I've heard them be described as lo-fi.
Yeah.
So,
I like
not
this sound.
Tons of, like... It's not super clean.
Yeah,
but
I like
if you're
that.
Into it, you're into it hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm
going to check that out.
Pick of the week, that album. That's my favorite album by them, too.
What's it called again?
The Body, The Blood, The Machine.
Body, The Blood, The Machine.
Yeah. All right. So that is my pick of the week.
Okay. So do you know what we're going to talk about this week?
Not a clue.
We're not going to talk about anything.
Oh, God.
We're just going to keep it random. Okay. So speaking of which, this isn't random, but we have some listener feedback.
Really?
Yes, we do.
Oh, yeah. You told me.
So for our first listener feedback, I had P. Stammer on Instagram send me a message. Thank you for listening to the show, being our first follower, and also for for giving us some things to discuss, asking us questions, giving us your feedback. We always really appreciate it. We welcome it. So he wanted to...
give him a high five.
Send him a high five. There you go, B-Stammer. That's JC. Go send you a high five. He's got a really cool page, actually, on Instagram. He collects a lot of Spider-Man stuff. We have a similar taste in our Spider-Man collection. And he was also at the Fan Expo, same time as we were.
Oh, yeah?
We were posting a lot of the same pictures and liking... and like, where'd you... So he was... All so the stuff that he bought.
Follow
yeah.
Follow him.
But we were following each other. So a lot in common that way. So he wanted to know, because we were talking about the movies coming up, that's like the latest news.
Yeah.
If the movies that are coming out, should they, considering that they're all comic book movies and it's almost oversaturated, would you say that there's an oversaturation of these type of movies now? Like, you look at 2016,
oh, yeah,
we got
so much.
You've got
movies,
Civil War, you got Batman, Superman.
Yeah.
At the same time, you have Star Wars. I mean, it's not a superhero movie, but I mean, that's an action-packed year
yeah.
of wicked
and
movies.
Like big stories. Big stories. There.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you see the next 5 years coming up every year. Like, and that's just DC and Marvel. That's not including the X-Men movies, the
like,
Spider-Man movies.
And like independent things. Yeah. I, however, don't think it is oversaturated, though.
Mm.
Because when you think about it, a year is long. A movie comes out, like, it's, tops is popular for is like 1 month. It's huge. You hear about it everywhere, and then it's the next thing. So, I don't think it's necessarily oversaturated. I think this is the right time to be doing that.
Yeah.
Because they're so popular. I think Guardians of the Galaxy was like, for me, that was like the kind of... Oh, what's that? What's the scientific term when something speeds it up? The catalyst. For me, that was the catalyst. I feel like Marvel was really testing. They were like, okay, if we just make like a good movie about superheroes and stuff, but that no one knows, how will they react? And look, it like blew up.
Yeah.
And stuff. So I feel like then they were like, okay, we're safe to do this.
So you think that they're it's not gonna. It's not creating like this balloon that's going to pop and then all of a sudden they're investing all this money in these movies. Like, when you look at it, like the television shows.
Yeah.
It's all over TV now.
Yeah.
Every day of the week there's a comic book related show.
Yeah.
Almost every 2 months there's going to be a superhero movie in the next 5 years. That's a lot of
yeah.
superhero movies.
Yeah.
Do you think people are just going to get sick of it? And
I
like,
think definitely. It's going to run its time.
You think so?
But I don't think it is like... At least looking at Marvel's Phase 3 thing, I don't think it'll run out until, like, 2020.
I think, I hate to say this, because I love my DC characters, I don't think Marvel has as much to worry about because they're Disney.
Yeah.
And they're Marvel, it's kind of like Pixar. No one gets tired of Pixar movies because that's how Marvel's treating their movies, in a way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this has become a brand. Marvel has become a brand that people are trusting to say, like, it's a Marvel Studios movie, Pixar Studios movie. It's got to be good.
Yeah.
Right? And mm-hmm. the people behind it have our good brain trust that know what they're doing.
Yeah.
What I think could ruin it is the Fantastic Four that's coming out. The Spider-Man that might come out. The DC movies that might come out. That if, like, Batman and Superman
are bad.
Bust. Like,
yeah.
if that's a bad movie... And
but you don't think then Marvel... I feel like Marvel would just profit right off that.
Marvel will be fine.
Yeah. Oh, you're talking about the over... Yeah.
I think Marvel
absolutely.
Studios will be okay. But I think because the way they've set it up is that people trust what they're doing, but they're also doing things that are like... Guardians of the Galaxy is more Star Wars than a superhero. They're not really superheroes. They're more like... Like, the Star-Lord is more of a Han Solo, Indiana Jones character when you look at what he does.
Character-wise, yeah.
Yeah, and he's got... You've got your almost... I'm not saying it is, but almost like analogs of what a Star Wars kind of story would be. They could change it and make it just a high-end space adventure. Whereas Superman, Batman, Justice League, if they fail with that movie, they're done.
Yeah. There's I don't even know if DC realize. No, they do realize, but like,
but they
DC
really,
can't afford another bad movie.
They can't have...
Their, like, bad movie to good movie ratio is too spiked.
Yeah. And, like, they got to hit it out of the park, not just making it a good movie, but making money. Like, yeah. They've got to do a Winter Soldier type of thing where...
I think they'll probably make a lot of money. Honestly, they'll make a lot of even money. Even if the movie is bad, they'll make a lot of
they
money.
They will. Because
people go see it. That's but they true. Won't have the follow-up.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. I don't know. I look back at the Christopher Nolan movies and I feel like he should have just made that an open universe.
Yeah.
Because by Dark Knight Rises, I like that movie for myself because I'm a Batman fan, so I'm biased. But the more I watch it, the more I feel like this guy just wanted to get out of making these movies. He just wanted to wrap up the story. Because he did things in that movie, as far as, like, character, it's just so not the character.
Like what?
Bruce Wayne in that movie, Batman in that movie, is so not Batman.
Yeah.
It's very... like, the more I watch it, I'm like, you know what?
You're talking about the hiatus thing, right?
Yeah. Like Bruce Wayne would never do that. It's so out of character to watch that. And I just feel like after Batman Begins, that... there's so much potential in what that movie universe could have been. I know DC followed it up with the stupid Superman Returns. They should have just opened it up and made a reference to Gotham right away. Open this universe up. They should have allowed it. Because now they got to start all over. Where those Batman Begins, Dark Knight, in my opinion, they're the best comic book movies.
Yeah. I wonder if that was part of Christopher Nolan's doing, though. Because he, so much, you always heard him. He was like, this has to be able, like, to take place in somewhat of a real world.
Yeah, that's
real
fine.
World things. No, no, no. But a real world situation, then you can't have Superman come crashing. Imagine that. So but some guy threatens a major city in the States with a massive bomb.
But
and
that's
then
so
Superman
stupid, though,
doesn't
for him.
Come.
But that's so stupid, though, that he would say that. That's the point.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It was stupid of him to even say, this is Batman in the real world. And no other superheroes could exist. Like, excuse me. You've got Ra's al Ghul. You've got all of these characters that are ridiculous and fantastic in their idea. Yeah, you made them into a real world. Yeah, you gave it the story a lot of heart and all of that. But there is no reason why this guy is dressing up as a bat.
Yeah.
Like, open this universe up. Reference a Metropolis. Reference something.
Yeah.
There's no reason why they couldn't have done that.
Yeah.
So I think they shot themselves in the foot by letting him get away with that, because then they went with Man of Steel, which is still a Nolan produced thing, still has his fingerprints all over it, and now they're trying to rush to the party.
Yeah.
Whereas if they had done Begins and Dark Knight, what Marvel movies are in that category other than, you know, Iron Man 1 is good, Captain America Winter Soldier. Captain America Winter Soldier is amazing. Guardians of the Galaxy is amazing. But I still think, for me, for my taste, Batman Begins and Dark Knight are still...
Yeah.
Avengers 2, I'm not taking away from that.
And even if, okay, fine, if they were making movies, like, somewhat around the same level as Marvel, I feel like there's more fan loyalty to DC characters. Think
you
about
think
it.
So?
You hear so... Batman. There's more...
Batman.
Yeah, okay, Batman. Yeah, yeah.
People are... Marvel, they always take... Even people who don't read comic books or have no... They always say Marvel just because it seems like the more badass thing to say.
But people will say more Batman over Marvel.
People who are Marvel fans, yeah, but Batman.
Yeah.
Right? But everyone always is on the Marvel side. They're Marvel apologists, I think. People don't want to like Superman. They'll find
people,
reasons
yeah.
not to like Superman.
Yeah.
He's a weenie. He's this. He's that.
Pretty boy.
Captain America's the exact same thing, but they like him.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know. I like both companies myself, but people are always quick to say, I like Marvel better. Why? I don't know. I just do. I understand why people who've read the comics like Marvel better. I think it's legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. So you think that eventually the bubble will burst?
Oh, I think it will burst eventually, but not in this kind of... coming 5 years of activity.
Okay. Do you think that this amount of superhero movies... This is another question from P. Stammer. Should make the medium of superhero comics and that genre... Should it make it more popular? Should more people be getting into comics because of it? Because it doesn't seem like it necessarily is. But do you think it should?
My friends that know I read comics and that have seen this, they always have questions. When Marvel made the announcement and then there was like a whole bunch of news about like the Infinity War, I got, I think, probably close to 7 text messages from different people being like, what do you know about the Infinity War? Is this going to be cool? Like, what is this? I even got people asking me about Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it is piquing people's interest. Probably not the point to become huge, like, fanboys go out, collect stuff. But I think it's piquing people's interest into, like, oh, now I do really want to know, like, what's behind all this? Let's just ask the closest person that reads comic books that does know. So yeah. It's interesting them, probably not to the degree
that you think it's could. Because it looks like it's an expensive hobby that
I think deters comics is an expensive hobby.
Yeah, I think if you do it...
If you do it collecting. If you do it just like you're getting stories from like trade paperbacks and specific ones... Look, if you wanted to just trace
it's expensive either way.
Yeah.
You have to know how to do it.
If you wanted to just trace like the Marvel stories that they're doing now, so go out by the Civil War book.
Okay.
Because then you get basically the full story in that one trade paperback. And then like the Infinity War, I think I've seen it in some places, like the trade paperback, the reduced trade paperback. That's just the essential stories.
Infinity Gauntlet?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think I've seen that one for pretty cheap too. So
you got to know how to shop for them. Like you got to know where to look at your secondhand bookstores or bookstores that have things for discount. That's how I do a lot of it. Get memberships to comic book shops, and you can do it. Yeah, if you buy weekly like I do, it can get
even if you're just buying like a lot of open stories trade paperback, it gets really expensive.
Yeah, it does. It definitely does. But that's you got to know what you can and can't do. Like for me. I got no mortgage, I got no kids, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't, you know what I mean? I got
an income. Kids either.
No, but you're still in school, but I bet once you're 30, you'll probably have a bigger collection.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Actually, funny to mention, I just convinced a girl I go to school with to buy the Dark Knight.
Thing. Dark Knight Returns?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The trade paperbacks.
Yeah, that's the thing too, is you can follow these really great, and I always encourage people to try reading a comic book, not because I want them to like superheroes, because there's so many more different types of books in written as comic books, like have nothing to do with superheroes, but the way the stories are told, I wish more people could read them just to see how enjoyable it is to read a story like
that. To that degree, it is having somewhat of an effect.
My sister
has asked to see like the Civil War one and asked if I have the Infinity one. I think people are interested in just the direct stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think once you do that, you fall down the rabbit hole.
Hopefully.
Yeah. It's fun to share. It's fun to get people's feedback. Like, it's so much... It's such a world of discovery.
Oh, imagine if you're like, you were just getting into it now, too? With the movies?
The problem I have with it is... I think back in the day, the way they wrote comic books... was more fan friendly, that anyone can jump on and get into it and be caught up quicker. Whereas today they write things in such long winded storytelling ways where you have to get 12 issues to get the whole story.
I don't know about now. Now, if you jump on with Marvel Now or New 52.
Yeah, but you can't just pick up a comic book.
Oh, no. Yeah, not just like that. I'm saying someone just getting started wanting to know where to start.
Yeah, like if you read the Batman, Scott Snyder, Greg Capullo, Batman, for sure. And that's, I suggest anybody to read that who just go to a bookstore, because those are just great stories.
Yeah.
Even if you don't want to continue, it's one of those must reads. Okay, so all in all, we think that people are getting more into comic books because of it.
Yeah. Maybe not to an overwhelming degree, but I think that it is piquing people's interest.
More into the trades, I think.
Yeah. More into the stories.
Yeah, more into the trades. I don't know about the single issues.
Yeah.
How about the shows? How much do you keep up with these? How much of Arrow have you watched? Do you watch Arrow?
I started it with my dad when it was initially airing. I remember us like seeing the trailer for it, being so excited.
Okay.
Watching the premiere and stuff. But then we fell off. Not because either of us lost interest. We just got busy.
Yeah.
Like couldn't coordinate or whatever.
Yeah.
I've been meaning to get back into it because I've been hearing amazing things about it, that it's really picked up.
Yeah.
But Yeah, I haven't been following it since I think like 6 episodes into the first season.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm far behind.
Oh, you know what? I just started watching it on Netflix. Me and my wife finished the first season. And by the time we got to like... The first couple of episodes are great. Then there's like a period in between where you're kind of... It's not bad. Everything was good.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get to that... You pass a certain hump and everything is just like skyrockets. Yeah. And you're on this ride. We're in season 2 right now. I love it. I can't believe how good it is. For me, for a comic book fan, there's lots of little nuggets. They're introducing a lot of characters. They're not shying away from that. It makes me feel like it's unfortunate, and I know a lot of people disagree. I wish they would have made a Batman show.
Yeah.
Because everything, like, I know they did Gotham. Fine, if you like it, that's great. It's getting better. It is getting better.
Yeah.
But the way that Arrow's going, he's got the gadgets. He's got the team.
Does he have the punching glove yet?
Not the punch, but he's got trick arrows.
He better get to it.
He's got...
It's not Green Arrow if you don't come to it.
Black Canary's in it.
Really?
Yeah. Huntress was in it. Ra's al Ghul's being introduced. The League of Assassins.
Wow.
It's wicked.
Yeah.
And...
I think what scared me off a bit from it, when I was thinking back to what I know, so he gets back the initial thing. Once the series kind of got set or whatever, it seemed like they were following the kind of like, okay, this is the person he has to kill off the list.
Mm-hmm.
So like, we're gonna go for him, and that was the episode, and then the next episode is that, and but it's following into the Smallville route.
But even this Flash is like that.
This
they all start like that.
Yeah, but
to get
see, the
legs,
difference
right?
with Smallville is they started like that, and then they did it for another 2 seasons.
Okay, yeah. See, Arrow already was different from the second season.
Okay.
It's almost like a James Bond story. Where,
yeah.
like, he's got a different villain each week for a different reason, but now he went to Moscow in one episode, and he had to deal with something there to help Diggle. Like,
But is it at least, like, a continuous story? Because that's
yes.
what killed me about Smallville, was that, like, they rarely ever acknowledged the last, like, episode.
No,
They'd be like, do you remember that thing?
No.
What happened?
It's all connecting. It's all connecting. It's really cool.
Yeah, because that's what I was scared of. I was like,
oh,
they're starting
man.
To fall back into that pattern of Smallville.
Yeah, the first season kind of did that.
But I think, like you said, a lot of shows have to. It's just that Smallville pushed it to, like, the limit.
But by I don't know the episode number, but the last 10 episodes of Arrow were just fantastic.
Like
first
season 1?
Yeah, like, the whole season's good, but like you said, it had that sort of the list, and the flashback stuff. As it continues going on, like, they're still doing flashbacks in season 2.
Really?
But it's so good.
I remember
good.
The flash. Oh, yeah. Okay, the last
it's
episode
so
we watched was
good.
The flashback with Deathstroke. And
there's
I went nuts.
There's so much more to that.
Yeah?
Oh, there's so much more to that.
I went
it's
nuts.
It's not what you think.
Deathstroke.
Yeah, but
Teen
Deathstroke
Titans
is in
Slade.
It. Yeah, he's in it. It's there's so much. There's so much
okay.
to it.
I'm going to watch it tonight.
Yeah, it's really good. And then the Flash is having a crossover with it.
Yeah.
So well,
they're
in the same
it in
universe,
the
right?
Yeah.
And I think in the Flash show, they're going to eventually introduce Firestorm.
Oh, that sounds so familiar.
He's like a ancillary member of the Justice League. He's got like the nuclear powers.
Oh,
he's got like
yeah.
two guys in his conscience. One's a scientist, one's a kid.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've heard of him.
So you got Canary. You've got Arsenal, the Roy Harper. Speedy's in it. Yeah.
Teen Titans.
There's a lot of stuff that if you saw it, you'd be
introduce
like, could,
Dick Grayson.
Yeah, they could totally do it. They
oh.
could totally do it.
Oh.
And they could make a Batman show where it's almost like Gotham Central.
Could you imagine if they had done that right? If they had introduced, like, instead of Gotham, went with a Batman show, but have him be a little bit older, like he's already established
yeah.
or something, and then introduce Dick Grayson and have it in the same...
Make it a bridge towards a Nightwing show. You know how good that would be?
That's so awesome.
And you don't even have to show Batman, like, his face. You can see him in, like, the shadow talking.
Yeah.
And you just see, like, the silhouette. And he'll fight in a shadow. And you have a character of Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
But you never have to actually see a full episode of just Batman. If people don't want to...
I would have been okay with either.
And then you introduce Nightwing, and then you spin off and do Nightwing show, let him take
yeah.
over. Like, there's so much they could have done. Like, Arrow's so good. You see all this, like, when you see...
That makes me... Just this little conversation has made me regret Gotham so much.
Yeah.
Why didn't you plan it?
Yeah.
And especially since you know they had to have planned for the Flash to be tying into Arrow. Who was the dumbhead that was like, hey, we're going to do a Batman show, but let's not tie it into these?
Because it's Fox. It's not CW.
That would do it.
Yeah. In Arrow Season 2, they're already talking in like the early episodes. There's like, they show in, you know, in Starling City News, Oliver Queen, whatever, show up at Courthouse. But then in other news, the... what's it called? I forget what it's called in Flash. The particle accelerator in Central City, huh, in Star Labs is almost ready for whatever, really? Right? It's gonna...
So they've had it planned,
too. They've had it planned, yeah. So, you know, they could almost make a Justice League the way they're going. It's really good.
Or like, oh, could you imagine if they aimed for, like, the Young Justice thing? Introduced Dick Grayson as, like, the younger Dick Grayson? That's just like,
And what about the... They should make John Jones, then introduce his niece.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, and then I wonder how they would do Superboy, too. I wonder if they'd introduce him, like, as the clone? Project thing. Yeah.
There's so much they could have done.
So much.
But Arrow is not shying away from, like, even...
Completely okay if they introduced Dick Grayson just as a character.
Okay, can I give you one spoiler?
Yeah.
One spoiler. So when they introduce Black Canary, right?
Uh-huh.
She's trained by the League of Assassins,
mm-hmm,
and they come back to kill her.
Yeah.
Okay. And as they're fighting her in this clock tower, they knock her down.
Well, that's not from the comics, is it?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
But they knock her down in this fight, and the League of Assassin member says, "You still haven't learned to mind your surroundings."
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. There's all these little like tidbits. It's like, it's from Batman,
wow,
right?
Wow.
Yeah, it's really good. Daphne J was getting frustrated as she's watching. They're biters. That's from the Batman movie. They even there's been like a "Why so serious?" That someone dropped that line.
No.
Yeah, there's a couple of lines that are from Batman.
Next,
you got to get into it. You
next
gotta
year,
get into
next
it.
Year, just introduce a Dick Grayson show.
What was I gonna say? Yeah, I wish they would have made a Batman show.
It I wish they would have made a Batman show. Wish they would do anything but Gotham.
Yeah, Gotham's getting better, and it's like an Elseworlds type of story, but watching Arrow, it's basically Batman.
Yeah. Batman how it should have been.
It's basically a Batman story. It's made me really like Green Arrow more as a character and look into his comics more, which I like.
Yeah, it's weird. I already really liked Green Arrow before the TV show, so I have no idea why I didn't follow it.
Yeah. Get back on it. It'll pay off. You're going to love it.
Yeah.
If you liked Green Arrow before...
Watch, by the next time you see me, it's going to be like, I'm done season two. And like,
yeah. No, we could do a whole episode on it.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to touch on? Anything comes to mind?
All I can think right now is Teen Titans. Well, like, you know that's my end goal. That's the end game in
anything. I was thinking about that, actually, how... Like, we're like the dynamic duo, right? But you would rather be Robin than Batman.
Yeah.
If you had the choice.
Absolutely.
Why?
Because Robin is like, he gets to have fun. I don't know. And like, then he's Teen Titans.
So it's all about
Starfire's hot, so like, guess what that?
So you want to be Dick Grayson or you want to be Tim Drake?
I'd be either. I'd be any Robin.
Anybody but Jason Todd.
I'd be Jason Todd just to be Robin.
So you just want to be Robin. That's good.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, I don't want to be Robin.
Why?
I don't know
if I necessarily want to be like Burt Ward Robin with like the little skinny tight.
Yeah.
Thing. Yeah.
But you like, see the way they drew him back in the day with those thighs?
Yeah.
He had like muscle on muscle.
Oh, yeah. You've heard my rant on thighs. Look at any superhero drawing of a guy's thighs. Man, I don't know what they're doing. Their squats are like over 9,000. Their squats are 9,000 crazy.
Squats a day.
It's like... No human size. People's thighs are like that, but like it's insane. These guys' thighs are beefing.
You gotta talk about one more thing because we don't want to end the show talking about men's thighs beefing.
I remember I told you about that, and we were still like pretty new. We didn't know each other that well, and I was like,
"But I agree with you."
I wonder if he was just like, "Who the heck would notice that?"
No, you know what? I was thinking the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I heard a reference about, look how they drew Dick Grayson's when he was Robin the Boy Wonder. How this artist drew his thighs. I was like, who'd pay attention to that? And then you mentioned it, and I'm like, wow, this guy's he's a true geek. In Marvel Comics, the latest thing that they've had in these couple weeks,
is new Captain America and a new Thor. Did you hear about this?
No.
Captain America is now Falcon.
What?
Yeah, they made him the Falcon. And Thor is now a girl.
Wait, what? What?
That's a good reaction. I like that. Steve Rogers, they've given him... He's gotten old, extremely old. And so the legacy of Captain America has been passed on to Falcon.
Oh, I totally thought you meant like Steve Rogers became the Falcon.
No. What do you think of that? Black Captain America. Not that that should matter.
Oh, racist.
No, not racist. Just, what do you think of that? It's different. It's never happened before.
I've never really known much about the Falcon. So, I don't know. Yeah, that's cool. They did Black Spider-Man too, so.
Yeah.
It's in the whole Marvel Universe.
You think it's going to have any effect on the movies?
No, I thought story? We... Yeah,
I know,
more I've been thinking about it. I thought they
sense.
Were...
They actually signed
towards
him,
the Bucky.
They've signed Buck, that actor, on for 9 movies.
Yeah.
I don't know how it's going to work, but he's here for the long haul.
The more you said it, the more I'm like, I'm starting to piece together how things might fit.
Yeah.
Like, so, I don't know, did we talk about it? Maybe it was you and I talking about it. But like how it's going to seem like Tony Stark will have created Ultron. Because you know how in the preview he comes out of his shop.
Yeah.
So like he'll have created Ultron. Obviously, Ultron's going to do a ton of damage in that Avengers movie.
All right.
Then government will come in, be like, hey, you see that mess you guys made? You have to be able to answer for that. Tony Stark will be like, yeah, we totally do. Captain America's like, no, Civil War.
Maybe.
Eh?
Maybe.
Yeah. I don't know.
I hope,
I've been thinking about it. The more, when you told me about that, I went back, looked through the Civil War thing, looked at like the death of Captain America and was like, yeah, they're probably going to angle it to Steve Rogers might die, and Bucky will come in and fill his shoes.
We'll see. It should be interesting, because there's the actual Civil War story. They can't recreate that because of all the licensing problems.
Yeah, they
which
don't
is
have,
a,
like...
They don't have Spider-Man
and Fantastic
Four.
They don't have some of the main
Four.
Characters, yeah.
So they're going to have to, obviously, adapt it quite a bit. So it's going to be interesting how they do it. Because Winter Soldier, another book you got to... get a hold of. That was a really good arc, but the movie didn't follow it exactly.
Yeah.
But it captured those moments where the feeling that you get is exactly the way it should have been.
Yeah.
And the way they designed the Winter Soldier was just fantastic.
Yeah, he looked like, exactly like
oh,
from the comics.
Oh, man, when
so
I saw
good.
That, I was just like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
So good. That movie is easily in my top 5 superhero movies. Winter Soldier... That's like Dark Knight level.
Yeah.
It was great. All right. So we'll wrap it up there for this week. That was fun. Having a little wild card conversation. You didn't know what we were going to talk about, but you were...
No
you idea. Had a lot to say.
Yeah.
That
well, yeah,
because
you hit Star Wars.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to shock you with that one. All right. So thanks again for listening. This has been the Cave of Solitude, Eric Anthony.
And Jay Siegel.
You can hit us up at... not Comic Cave... Cave of Solitude at Outlook.com. On Instagram, it's the same, Cave of Solitude. And we got the website that's still under construction, but you can download some episodes from there. Stay tuned. We're going to be back up hopefully next week. We don't know what the next week's episode's going to be about, so it should be fun. Take care, everyone. Thanks for listening.